I see you have all washed your faces since Ash Wednesday. While the ashes are gone, we have entered the season of Lent. And today we are starting at the very beginning of Holy Week. We've entered the story, and it starts with a parade. Show of hands, have any of you ever been to a parade? Yes, everybody, I think. It's fun, isn't it? It's wonderful to watch a parade, especially if there are some good marching bands with a good drum corps. It's exciting to see floats and people celebrating whatever the occasion is. Parades are times of celebration. In fact, just this past week, folks in New Orleans had a great parade, Mardi Gras, to kick off the season of Lent. Now, have any of you been in a parade? Show of hands. Quite a few folks. It's quite something, isn't it, to be in the parade, whether you're in the band or on the float, to see the crowds cheering, to see and feel that energy. There's a different level of engagement when you move from watching a parade, being a spectator, to walking in the parade and being a participant. Now, parades are not just times of celebration. Historically, parades have been used to gather folks together and show displays of power. Armies have paraded often post-war with their soldiers to show the spoils of war, or when not in wartime, we've had military parades to show the power that we have. Today, we are entering the story of Holy Week by standing along the parade route. There are not floats. There is no marching band. But there are participants. During this period in history, the Romans are occupying the region, and they have total control over everything, including how the Jews were allowed to practice their religion. Our story from Matthew takes place just before the Passover. Passover was one of two times in the year when the Romans would allow the Jews to come and actively worship at the temple. And so everyone is making a pilgrimage from all around the Holy Land to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to gather and worship. Security is heightened, and it's customary for Pontius Pilate, at the very beginning of Passover, to ride in his own parade, as you can see. This parade is a military parade to show off his power and force. It's intended to let the crowds of pilgrims know that the Romans are in full control. Now, the Romans loved a good parade where they could roll their chariots and horses and soldiers in formation. And so Pontius Pilate is riding in this parade to remind all those Jews gathered that the Romans are in total control and they best not cause any trouble. Now, Jesus, as we know, is Jewish, and he has been preaching and teaching in a way that has upset the powers that be. He's not a letter of the law teacher, but a spirit of the law teacher. And he has been preaching and teaching about love and hospitality and care for the vulnerable, those that have been ignored in society, the widows, the orphans, the immigrants, the poor. His ministry has upset the status quo. You see, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, have gone along to get along with the Romans. They have cut off parts of the ways in which they practice their faith. They have acquiesced so that they can practice their faith in a small way. And Jesus has threatened that little bit of power and access the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews have. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees are conspiring against him. And yet, Jesus is also so very popular at this point in time. Crowds gather and follow Jesus as he teaches all around the country. And folks know that Jesus would be coming to Jerusalem for Passover because he's Jewish, and that's what every good Jew does. And so word was spreading. People knew Jesus was special, and they hoped that he true might be the fulfillment of the prophecy, that he might be the Messiah. He might be a king, much like David. They hoped that Jesus would deliver them from the Roman Empire, from the control, that he would fulfill the prophecies, that he would stage a coup. And since Jesus had crowds following him, he could have used them to turn over the powers that be and start a coup if he wanted to. And so on this day, during this parade, tensions are running high. Pilate is walking through the big major gate of Jerusalem on one side of the city, and on the other side, Jesus is part of a parade of his own. But before Jesus and his disciples get to Jerusalem and walk into the city with the other pilgrims, they stop. They stop in a town called Bethphage, and Jesus gives the disciples instructions. You'll find a donkey and a colt tied up, and take those. It seems odd, but they go with it. And then they remember the prophecy from Zechariah. Jesus is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. So to get a colt and a donkey is intentional. Jesus is intentionally fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. And so Jesus doesn't just walk into Jerusalem with the crowds of pilgrims. He rides on a donkey. And in spite of riding in on the wrong animal to show power and strength, he's riding in on the right animal to fulfill the prophecy from Zechariah, to fulfill the prophecy that he will be a king who is humble. And how do the crowds respond? They throw down their coats and branches, just as you would a king in a royal procession. If this were a king who was crowned and sitting on a throne, that's what they would do. For a king's horse, or in this case, donkey, cannot touch the cobblestone. And so they throw down the red carpet, or in this case, the brown carpet, of coats and branches so that the donkey's hooves will not touch the ground. Can you imagine this? Pilgrims by the masses are spilling out and streaming into the city of Jerusalem through the gate. They're colliding with the wealthy city dwellers of Jerusalem, and all of them have heard of Jesus because his reputation precedes him. But in this moment, Jesus is risking his reputation. He's stepping out from just being a good teacher or rabbi to claiming that he is the Messiah. It's a risk. Because in doing so, he not only upsets the Pharisees and Sadducees, he upsets the Roman authorities. This parade and this processional is a direct challenge to the Roman Empire. And so the crowds are very excited about Jesus. They're very excited about the possibilities that might unfold in this coming week. Will he stage a coup? Will he be a king and try to take a throne? We don't know. But in this moment, there's excitement, there is hope, there is joy. And the crowd is yelling something very unique. Hosanna, save us. They have had enough of the empire. They have had enough of their lives being totally controlled, and they are ready for freedom. And yet, their energy, their joy, their support of Jesus, as we know, will be fleeting. The same crowd that cries out Hosanna on Palm Sunday will cry out Crucify Him on Good Friday. Oh, how fickle we can be. And yet, in this moment, there is an invitation to follow Jesus, this humble king, this Messiah, into the celebration of Passover and the events of Holy Week. There is a great scene in the musical Hello, Dolly, where Dolly sings the song before the parade passes by. She sings, I've got to get in step while there's time left. You see, Dolly realizes her life is passing her by, and she can no longer stand on the sidelines watching the parade. She has to join in the chorus. She has to feel her heart coming alive again. And that's the invitation on Palm Sunday. The invitation to not just watch Jesus as a spectator, but to follow Jesus, to join the parade of hope, the parade of reconciliation, the parade of love that only Jesus can bring about. It's a risk to follow Jesus. There's sacrifice to follow Jesus, but isn't that our life as disciples? It's certainly our life during the season of Lent. In Lent, we have 40 days to specifically pause and focus on barriers that might be between us and God. So I'm wondering, what's preventing you from joining the parade? Is it fear? Is it weariness? Is it busyness? The invitation today for the next 40 days is to join the parade, is to follow Jesus. It takes some discipline, it takes some risk, but I think we can do that together because we know the end of the story. The end of the story is set before us on a table today. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of grace. It's a celebration of love and reconciliation. For on the night of Jesus' arrest, Jesus took bread and he served those that would betray him, those that would deny him, those that struggled to follow him. And he offered them the bread of life and the cup of salvation. This meal is a sign of God's love, of God's invitation that it's never too late to join the parade. It's never too late to follow Jesus. And so today, at the beginning of our journey, we will take the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We need some fortification because we do not know what the next 40 days will entail. What we do know is that as we enter this story, we could be transformed. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, Amen.